Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 5th anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there. This is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself. And you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Two Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Two Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here, special Friday night, prime time, which we don't normally do, but we had to do it special this week. I'm solo, no Alex tonight, but that's okay. He's holding down the fort. As we are coming to break down the PWI Women's 150, which, as most of you know, I'm a diehard Joshi fan, and I'm excited to really get into it. And since Alex couldn't be with us, there's only one more perfect person I could think of, and that is you, Miss Kristen Ashley. Welcome back to the show, and my favorite guest. I'm so jacked for this list. No idea.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back.
We spoke 11 months on the date Sunday, if you will, last year when Siori and Utami Hayashishida had the rematch for the title at Ryogoku at the Dream Queendom, and I just remember going, man, it was the greatest match I've ever seen two women have in the ring in June. I hope they can do it again. And I feel like this is going to be the coming of Shuri. And not to give spoilers, but you didn't let me down whatsoever. Number one in all of our hearts. Oh, my God. You know how happy I am. You have no idea.
I have an idea. I was extremely happy. I mean, it wasn't an easy choice, but when we finally landed on it, it was like Christmas. I couldn't wait to share.
So I wanted to ask you this too, because we didn't talk about this last time. I don't think. How many people really sit down to do this voting? Is it a big conglomerate of voices?
No, it's typically kept to a small group. This year, I think we had 7. Sometimes it might be 8, but it's around there. The editor-in-chief, too, will sometimes reach out to a few other people to get their opinions. They're, like, consulted. They're not technically on the committee, but it typically is, you know, maybe a dozen people. Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was, you know, like, you look at some of these and there's, like, 40 talking heads in the room trying to come up with it. It's like, oh, my gosh. Sometimes you need that small, good group of people that know what they're talking about. And
right.
You know, I look at this list top to bottom, and obviously we'll break things down, but it blows my mind how diverse and how widespread it's gotten. I mean, you think back in the, you know, what, 5 or 6 years ago when, I think it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago when Sasha and Bayley had that big match in New York, and everyone's like, wow, women's wrestling is here. We haven't seen this before. And now you look at it, and it's like, there's companies that are better than Stardom. I mean, Stardom flat out might be the best company on earth, I think. It's so good to see the talent so good. And, I mean, you're spoiled with the riches.
Yeah, and it was super hard. I mean, we had to leave off a lot of people that we didn't want to leave off, but I think that when Kevin took over PWI a few years ago, that was really one of his goals, at least, was to really showcase for men and women wrestling for all around the world, because you can't really say something's the best unless you're showing everything. And that's part of my job, too, is to make sure that women's wrestling from everywhere is being covered properly. Yeah, we're really super proud of how diverse the list is.
Now, this list has gone, I could be wrong on the dates too, and correct me if I am, but over the last 3 years, this list has grown every year by 50, hasn't it?
Yeah, 2018, I believe, it was still 50. Then it grew up to 100, and then last year we changed it to 150.
Last year was 150. Okay, I mean, I'm just waiting for next year it's 200. And
I mean, so this year they're extending the tag team list to 100, which of course is always good for women because then there's more women's teams on the list. So that was the main focus. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not off the table. We are trying to come up with different ways to make sure that more women are really showcased and they're treated equally. Yeah.
And there's a couple that I want to ask you about that I've heard, I looked through this list and I'm like, I think I've heard of about 146 of these people. I got a couple questions on some other ones on where I watched them what I need to do with them.
I'll try.
I love too the thinking, you know, with the NFL, they have Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick. I was like, what a great Mr. Irrelevant than Hyper Masao, who's like a weird villainous superhero that's not a superhero in Tokyo Joshi Pro. I think that's such a fantastic way to close the list. But I think right at the top, you know, let's talk it. Siori, we saw her and Julia Altolabello Cabaliwan finish fourth in the tag thing, which blew my mind. I thought they were a top two team, to be honest, behind the Bucks. I guess Bucks are the Bucks, but those two did so much. And then you take this run Siori's did since she's broke away. And now, mind you, I'm just going to tell everyone here, spoiler, I am on like August 4th of the Grand Prix. So I'm like 2 months behind. But like I said to you on Twitter, I have to watch minute by minute every single show. I have spreadsheets and max ratings. Like I'm a completionist, and I got a week of PTO still that I'm going to get this done before December is my goal. But I mean, her and Julia split, and then she took the title, and aside from 2 months of your evaluation period, I mean, she beat everyone and anyone. Kind of how was the process? Was there a overwhelming yes, this is the definitive number one, or was there discussion with it? Kind of talk about Siori and, you know, how that was with you getting her to number one.
Yeah, well, it was not easy. There was a lot of discussion. Typically, our first draft, right, it's pretty much done in the first committee meeting over Zoom. Typically, over 4 hours, the call. The one and two spot, Siori and Bianca, took us alone over an hour of the call. we all played each other's devil's advocates. We all discussed each side. And even after this draft, it wasn't even really cemented. There was a few other conversations that Kevin, our editor-in-chief, had on the side. There was email chains. We still watched because there's still always a couple weeks after we make this that we still have to watch to make sure that nobody moves up or down or off the list, whatnot. So, I mean, it was not easy. It was extremely, like, and I have ADHD, so I'm just sitting in the call like, oh, my God. But you know, we want to make sure that we're doing a very, very, very thorough job. And what it came down to, they were so equal, but what it came down to is Siori just on paper had a better year. You know, she had three titles, a gazillion matches like they all do. She fought almost every single person on the roster. I mean, she just had a better year on paper. It doesn't say that Bianca is a bad wrestler. It's just two different people.
Yeah, her resume, just watching, you know, the main events, you're just going, well, this is, okay, that was a banger. Oh, that was a banger. Oh, that was a banger. It was never ending with her. The thing that I wasn't sure about, and this is something I've always wanted to ask somebody, and this goes back to the days when Kazuchika Okada 2017 took the top spot, and with him being one of my top five of all time, I own two magazines in case I dent one or crease one. I have a second in an envelope. But with looking at the quality of competition and all that, I always wonder, does when a WWE person, as an example, Bianca Belair, have these, you know, TV matches where they're not meant to be anything special. They're, you know, let's go in there for 5 minutes, play the hits, and start an angle. Does that hurt or benefit the person?
Well, it doesn't so much matter what the results are. So quality or breadth of competition just means, like, you know, are the wrestlers that they're fighting towards the top of the card? Are they, you know, technically sound? Like, for instance, with Bianca, she was hurt a little bit with breadth of competition because she had, like, half of her matches were house shows, which doesn't necessarily not count, but it counts a little bit less. And she was fighting the same people over and over again because that's what a house show is, right? They just fight the same people. So that's what it kind of means, right? Shuri was always fighting different people. She was fighting people from all over the card. And like with indies, it's a little bit even better because they're fighting people from all over the place. Whereas, you know, whereas WWE, they're typically fighting the same people because of the feuds. But so that's all that means. It doesn't, like, we don't really consider the outcome of the match. We don't really consider, like, if it's a feud. I mean, if they're losing to people a lot who are lower on the list, then it becomes, like, then we talk about it, like, is Bianca losing to people a lot lower on the list? But she wasn't. So, yeah, we don't really think about that so much. Angles are more like push. But, yeah, just who are they fighting?
That makes a lot of sense. This is another just random question I'd always wondered too. Being obviously PWI, it's American Magazine, is there more pressure of having the, you know, the Bianca Belair, the Roman Reigns type on the cover over the people? Like, is there ever a scare of people might not know who this is?
Yeah, I think from like a sales perspective, of course, right? Like, and that's always, I mean, it's not really a criteria, or it doesn't make a final decision, but those things are considered. Like with the 500, they put like everybody in the top, whatever, 20, whatever it was, on the cover, because then, you know, you're going to, it was also like a callback, but then there's so many people that you're going to recognize. So yeah, of course, like sales wise, yes. Like a WWE person who is seen on TV, seen on cable, is going to sell better than Stardom, who is, you know, they're not as familiar among non-typical wrestling fans. Like, you know, I think of like my friend's kids, they are going to know who Bianca Belair is. They're not going to know who Stardom is, right? So, but I think too, Kevin and PWI really wants to also sell not just to American fans, because there are other fans. Like, American fans are not the only fans. And so it's really important to keep representation in mind across all countries. Yeah.
And I think too, what I've appreciated, especially since you told me, you know, he's taken over, is, you know, when I go to my local, like Barnes and Noble as an example, I see more Puro or Joshi or Lucha on these magazines that you wouldn't have seen, you know, in previous eras. And I understand why you do what you do, but I appreciate changing it, because I feel like the evolution of a wrestling fan is so different. Like, I couldn't believe on Wednesday when Katsuyori Shibata came out and the crowd chanted, "Holy shit," knew who he was. Like, this guy's had two matches since the Okada match in February of 2017 or whatever that was.
Right.
So the fact that the fans know these things and you guys are representing it, I think it's awesome. And I think too, in the sake of, you know, talking about Siri, I think her getting that cover just solidifies even more how great of a year she had. Cause I mean, she literally, I don't think I've given a grade like match average wise of somebody like what she did this year so far since like Will Ospreay of 2020 or that Okada 2017 run when he had the Omega matches. I mean, it's remarkable how great of a year she had, and seeing it recognized, I think, really cemented that for me. And that's what really made me excited. That's why I wanted to ask you that question.
Yeah, and, you know, like the three-star on the cover, I'm, like, I got to see it, of course, a little bit early. And it, like, I was so excited for these women because this is a huge moment. I mean, there has not been a wrestler who has been signed with a Joshi company at the time, because Asuka, of course, that she was the WWE, at the time being a Joshi wrestler, being on the cover of the magazine, and also, like, ranking number one. So it's huge. It's a huge deal for all of them. There hasn't been a non-WWE person since 2013 that topped the list. And I think at this point with, you know, streaming, COVID certainly pushed forward a lot of, you know, like, tech, stream service, right? So now we have access to almost all of this stuff. There's really no excuse to then not consider it for these things. When you look back at the old magazines, okay, yeah, like in 2008, you don't have all these streaming services.
Yeah.
You have cable, so you watch what's in front of you. And I think now there's really no excuse. A lot of this stuff is either very cheap or even free. And, you know, Stardom was like pretty traditionally known to be hard to get a hold of, but now it's getting easier and they're coming to the US a lot more now. And I think that's just, I mean, that speaks to why the list is what it is, like why it looks like this.
Yeah. I love the streaming. As a junkie wrestling fan, this is the best thing that could happen. I remember I interviewed Ho-Ho Loon from Dragon Gate and we reminisced for 20 minutes about iSpots.com and RF Video. Like, oh, you remember tape trading? And, oh, it was so cool. You could, you know, you'd dub a tape and send it to somebody and they'd send you one back. Now it's just like, I just click a button on my TV. Boom, I got it.
Right. Exactly.
And,
yep.
You know, and you mentioned too, the other two women on the list here, kind of sticking with the theme in this top 10, Saya Kamatani. I mean, you could almost argue she could have been a top three. Her ascending that company from kind of a mid-level player to suddenly winning the Cinderella last year and then suddenly taking the white belt. And you know, she was taking bumps and doing moves like she was the female Kota Ibushi. I remember at one point she went into Rossi's office, I heard, and said, hey, I want to wrestle Kota Ibushi because I can do the Phoenix Splash better than him. Like, it was awesome to hear. And she invokes babyface sympathy and charisma like a Ricky Steamboat to me. And her year was just tremendous. And seeing her sitting at seven blew my mind. I love the Saya pick. What was the thought process with Saya? Everyone kind of behind that one or?
Yeah, well, you know, and so Karen Peterson, I'll give her a shout out from Post Wrestling. She is like the, for me at least, Joshi epitome expert. She does like all Japanese wrestling, but she was on the committee this year as a new member, being a staff contributor now. And she told us where to put things, and we were like, yes. But obviously, those of us who would follow Stardom, it's pretty hard to not know Saya. I mean, she is the definition of a rising star. You know, only 3 years of experience, already making a name for herself, defended her title after getting it 8 times. You know, she's getting wins over the top of the roster, like Utami. You know, she gets the belt from Tom Nakano. Like, just has this crazy, amazing year and is newer. And so, you know, she's a lot like, you know, to compare to, like, Bianca, a lot like somebody who just had this, like, shoot to the top, right, this meteoric rise. And has really held it. She's one of those people that when I watch her in the ring, I'm like, she's going to kill somebody. Not because she's like dangerous, but because she is not afraid to hit hard or take hits. Like, she's incredible. And, you know, the three Stardom people in the top 10, they're there because they deserve it. They're all, you know, incredible technical wrestlers while also having, you know, this star power and this presence on the mic, you know.
And Starlight Kid, I mean, I remember Alex, who was my co-host, who was with us last time, he refers to her as Moonlight Kid as her heel persona, and he's determined to get that over. Her, I mean, ever since she went to Ueno Tai, they've just put the rocket to her back, and it's and she's so young that you can just sit there and ponder and wait, and you don't have to do anything. And it's I mean, I don't even think she's old enough to drink yet, and she's like a 6-7 year pro. I mean, she is just crazy. And you know, I've been a huge fan of, you know, her and the number 16 Azumi and their high speed title feud. And when I saw Starlight Kid sitting on that cover, I went, my God, this is fantastic. I think she had a great year, and I can only see going up from here with Starlight as well.
Yeah, I remember watching the show when she officially turned dark, you know, when she embraced her dark side and came out with the mask. And I was like, I didn't know much about her before then, but I knew a little bit. And she comes out in her dark side, and I'm like, this girl's a star already. And, you know, Stardom doesn't really have, like, heels and faces, like typical wrestling over here. It's not really the same. But Starlight Kid totally embraces the idea of a heel, so much that she's now bringing Momo over. She's totally just, you know, destroying matches midway. Like, she's one of those people that she's, you know, incredible and definitely has star power in and out of the promotion. Like, you know, they used her a lot on marketing promotions because of the mask and who she is. And I mean, she's got the character work down, but she also held like 3 titles during last year.
Yeah.
And
that's
had like 100 matches, which, you know, is Stardom always has a lot, but even for Stardom, that's a lot of matches. Has, you know, good showing at the Grand Prix, just an amazing, amazing wrestler.
Yeah. She is a workhorse, and every time you see her, she just seems to develop a new character or like trait or charisma. Like, her entrance is so, with her theme song, is so good, and the way she portrays everything. Like, she exudes star, and she's not even close to her prime yet, which is what scares me up. Like, oh God, she's going to be good. You know, and then obviously you know, we mentioned Bianca at number 2. And that was one that I was glad. I thought very, very due diligence there. When she lost to Becky at SummerSlam, you know, 14 months ago or whatever, in like 10 seconds, I immediately went, well, WWE doesn't think she's anything. That's the end of her career. And because that's usually what that company does. And then, you know, you look a couple months later, you get to the Rumble, you get to Mania, Rocket to the back, she's back again. As Alex put it on Wednesday, she made it cool to skip to the ring with a 14-foot ponytail.
I love her intro music.
Where do you see next with her? Because she's, you know, I'm assuming tomorrow the Bayley thing ends. Is this going to be just a continued rise, you think? Like, next year, is this going to be... Are we going to be used to seeing her in the top 1, 2, 3 in that area for a while?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think so. I'll also state, you know, I had an interview with Becky Lynch a while back after that whole thing had happened, but it was like midway. And it wasn't the original plan. So I'll say that. So it wasn't the plan to have Bianca lose in like 26 seconds. That was something that was decided right there on the spot because of different reasons. But it wasn't planned, and the heel persona for Becky wasn't initially planned either, but they had to roll into it because obviously when you beat her so quickly, so it was all last minute. But I think it's going to be hard to say Bianca isn't going to be at the very least top 10 for a while. I don't know what's next for her. I assume Charlotte will come back at some point, and then the game might change because it always does when she comes back. Bayley's back, so... maybe if she gets like a singles run really solid going, then I don't know, because Bayley's always a workhorse too. But they've really been relying on Bianca, and I don't foresee her just being tossed aside anytime soon. Whatever they're going to do with her, it's going to be solid.
And that's good too, because I was like, man, you got something here, and then you're just like, and I was like, oh man. And I figured out, okay, maybe there's time constraints because they book 700 matches on these things and don't think time through. And so they got to go, well, we got to change the plans. You're doing this, you're doing this. We'll roll with the punches on the Raw tomorrow. I usually expect out of these things. And that kind of rolls into the two people you mentioned I want to get into that's still in the top 10 here. Becky and Charlotte, obviously both didn't have full years, were gone. Charlotte's case, you know, she went off and was doing her thing. Becky got hurt. Mania hasn't been around the last, what would it have been, last 6 months, flat 5 months of your voting pool. With Becky, at least, had she stayed healthy this whole time, could she have been hired? Or would that not have changed? Okay.
Sure. And I think there were some people who thought she was going to be hired, just from the fan point of view. But she only missed like 2 months of our eval period. So she really didn't miss a ton when you look at, you know, I think almost like everybody's been out for a little bit, it seems like. Mm. So she didn't really miss a ton, and she came in hot. So our eval period started in October, and that year or that month before in September, she had 12 matches. Like, she came in hot. And, you know, her and Bianca's feud was the thing. You know, she also had that incredible, very real feud with Charlotte for a hot second. That match, we were all like, are they going to kill each other?
Oh, God, were they throwing the belts at each other and whatnot?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Sonya Deville.
I know. You know, Becky Lynch, she remains one of the biggest draws. She comes out and she plays heel, which no one thought she could do, and she did perfectly. She beats Bianca and Sasha at Crown Jewel, right? Beats Vida, a dream match against the Lita at Elimination Chamber, and she continuously pulls out the stops. I mean, she's one that they can play the ring, and they know it's going to be a good match. She doesn't fail. So Becky Lynch, like, you know, I'll say the top five was my top five going in. I had created my top 20. This was my top five, and I think she absolutely deserves the spot. If she had, you know, maybe a fuller year towards the beginning, she might have been higher for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, she – that's true. I look at that, you know, you figure October, she came into the eval period as champ, you know, and worked till April there. So, I mean, didn't miss too much and was always on TV, was always active, which is nice to see,
right,
too. There's – you have those – you have some people where not being as active, I think, is a good thing because it makes that – persona better, the mystique better, and it's more of an attraction. And I think she's perfect at that role. And when I look at that attraction role, brings me to number five, which surprised me, but I'm not mad at it. Jade Cargill comes in.
Yeah,
you know, she's learning on the fly. I wish they would give her You know, like how WWE always does the dark matches. I wish they'd give her dark matches just to get more ring time, since they don't do house shows. But
yeah,
you could tell she wants it. I've listened to interviews. She works her ass off. She's always trying to be the best, and I will always put over work rate and the ability of actually trying as opposed to not. And I'm all for it. I think she's got superstar written all over. And I feel like when she comes on the TV, it's something special when she's working.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll leave you a little on a secret. There was actually discussion about whether or not Jade should be above Thunder Rosa.
I'm not saying, that could be just because of things you hear, but I mean, she's a damn attraction.
Yeah, and, you know, yes, of course it's kayfabe, her undefeated streak, but the whole list is kayfabe, right? And
yeah,
I think
exactly.
what Jade brings and what she had from the very beginning was mic skills and attitude that a lot of other promotions wish they could capture in their wrestlers. So she already has that. And she's, like you said, she's ready. She's hungry. She's training with Bryan Danielson. Like, she wants it. And so that enough is like, you know, she's just going to hit the top soon, right? You know, she had a few title defenses on shows and pay-per-views. They have faith in her. But like you said, most importantly, her undeniable star power. She demands attention the second she walks in the room. There's very few people, you know, that when they walk in down from the ramp that I lose my breath over. And she's one of them. She's just, like, and not just because she's just gorgeous, but because she demands that attention. Her charisma is off the charts. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing when she had the defense with Ruby Soho, and she wanted to hit her with you know, that fall, the glam slam. I can't think of what she calls it, but the Beth Phoenix move she does. And they're on the middle rope, and she's like, let's go to the top. And she, and you could blatantly see Ruby Soho go, no, we're not going up to the top. Like, and I'm yeah. laughing. Like, oh, she wants to just do so much more. And they're like, you need to slow down. And I love
yeah.
the enthusiasm, the ambition. And, you know, when she figures it out and, you know, has more than, because, I mean, she shoot probably has only had those 40 matches. You know, whereas, like you mentioned, Starlight Kid,
yeah.
oh, she had over 100 in a year.
Right.
When she gets this figured out, I mean, she is going to be, she's going to be a player. And I will say, you know, I was a diehard Thunder Rosa fan. And then everything just seemed to get weird. And then now mm-hmm. she's just gone. And that really bothered me on the end, because I think she's such a tremendous talent. And especially mm-hmm. during the period that you have, I mean, gosh, I thought she was the jewel of that company. I do think I was on board that I think Toni Storm should have won at Forbidden Door, just because I think mm-hmm. Storm was hot and you could have built something. But Rosa yeah. winning, I mean, she was champ for almost the majority of your eval period. And I do think that's a good number three when you look at that aspect of it, because, you know, as you said, with quality, she was really good.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say too that yes, there's always going to be some drama, but we don't consider that.
It's
not our criteria. It doesn't have any bearing on what kind of wrestler they are or what kind of year they had. Of course, if they're problematic in certain ways, we obviously consider that. But I don't, you know, Thunder Rosa, that's all talk. We're not there. We don't
mm-hmm.
understand what's going on. So we can't really factor that in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to an AEW show when she's there. I remember going to one where Punk had come back, but she was there. And I'm not kidding. The pop that she had was, like, bigger than Punk's. I mean, she has, like, the crowd on her side. The fans are on her side. She got a back injury in August, and that's unfortunate. But she, before that, you know, she was defending the title at TJPW versus Mayu. She won the title at the first ever women's cage match for AEW, defeated Britt. And that was, like, that was iconic. You know, that was
yeah.
a moment. She's retained her title, you know, like versus Serena Deeb. That was cool. It's Double or Nothing. Like you said, Toni Storm at Forbidden Door, the only women's match on the whole card. And also, she does represent a very special community and makes it a point to always vocally and publicly support that community. And she also goes out and does, like, you know, charity, runs community events with AEW, is very with that stuff, very, you know, true heart, right? And she runs her
mm-hmm.
own promotion. Like, she helps other women. And though it's not a criteria necessarily, that is influence. And that's influence
yep.
in a positive way. And she really was the woman of AEW before she got injured. It's pretty hard to not put her at this spot. For me, it was no question. Like, she's such a hard worker and is never afraid to put in that time.
Well, and I think it works perfect too, is, you know, especially with the time period. I mean, you arguably have the three biggest companies and their champions. I mean, you almost have to
yeah.
have that, you know, and
yeah.
she did that. She ran it and she always, I remember cause when we went to Forbidden Door, she got a pop. I mean, I was like, ooh, that's a, people are here to
yeah.
see her. People were happy to see her. People were very
yeah.
happy to see her. And
yeah.
I always thought she was just a great worker too.
Yeah, she's technically incredible, especially when you think about how many years she has in her belt. I always thought it was going to be like 20, but you look at it, and it's like, I think like 10 or something. She's incredible, and she has a good – and you can tell, too, when someone's in a ring, if they are a ring leader and that they're calling – you know, they're calling moves, they're calling shots, if people get off, they're adjusting, and she does that. And for somebody who is not 20 years in, like maybe Mercedes Martinez, for somebody
mm-hmm.
to do that – already, I mean, that's a huge thing to be able to call in the second, to get back on time, to get things moving, you know, smoothly. That's hard to do. And she's just one of those people that, you know, is going to be such an important figurehead for women's wrestling way into the future.
And she always has a spot in my heart, because I was one of those low-key Lucha Underground fans. So I was like, oh, look,
yeah.
it's Carmelo. random.
I know.
Tribe, you know. So it's like, yeah. People don't, you know, realize that she has some longevity, and it was good that she got that push, and I thought she well deserved it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I think at that point they didn't have much of a choice. I wouldn't say it was on level of Becky with the man, but I think she was so loved that a lot of fans were like, when is she going to get the title? When are we going to see her more in the ring? She just demands fan love.
Yeah, she's got that almost like looking at a Full Gear next month. It feels like when she came in is what's going on with Jamie Hayter right now, where she's like the most over thing at these shows. Everyone just loves Jamie Hayter. And here I'm thinking, you guys should have seen her when she was in a Wedo tie. Her and Kagetsu used to just destroy people. You know,
Jamie's always been good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jamie's always been good. Yeah.
So it's good to see her on there.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the rest of the top 10 here, two people we haven't talked about. One of them, I will say, it's kind of cool seeing her come in because she never really went to a giant, you know, big time player, had always been kind of in the indies, but everybody knew who she was. And now she's in a company that's never going to leave. I mean, this is, everyone talks about how long WCW been around. Impact has been around for 20 years here, but Jordynne Grace, number 6, she's such a good worker. And she's always been a proprietor of working whoever she can work. Doesn't matter, male or female. And everybody that she works, you know, especially when, you know, she works any male, they're always putting her over, letting her do, you know, hey, do whatever you want to me type thing. She's always seemed to command that respect because she can work. And I thought that was really cool to see Jordynne Grace in this list here.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned before, like, making sure promotions are covered. And while, like, we don't sit here and go, okay, number 4 has to be WWE, we certainly try to make sure that we're covering all of the big titles. And that's really how you get to, like, maybe the 20, right, is you're covering all the big titles because those are the women who had the best push, right? And, you know, of course, they're going to have more wins, that sort of thing. With Jordynne Grace, she – like, there was a couple names thrown around about who would be Impact's number 1, and she came to all of us like, yes, Jordynne Grace. You know, she is somebody who just by wrestling is opening doors for other women. She's wrestled for almost every single title in Impact except for the men's world. So she's fought for the tag. For everything. So by that, like, you know, she holds, like, the digital media, or she's fighting for other titles, when she holds those titles or she's fighting for other titles, she's also opening those doors for other women to do the same. So while the intergender stuff doesn't necessarily matter for this list, it does when you think about the fact that now other women can fight for those because she's leading that way. Knockouts champ, great, great match with Masha. Every time she steps in the ring, she's super solid, just a pillar for Impact. You know, she won the first ever Queen of the Mountain match, so that's where she got her title, and that was a really awesome moment. You know, she's almost guaranteed to win on pay-per-views. I think her pay-per-view win record is insane. So she's really just been this person in Impact and outside of Impact, too, like at Zello on the Indies, who has not been afraid, again, to put in the work, like some of these other women, right? I know she's been really heavily focused on her weightlifting, and that's awesome. We were afraid for a little while that she was going to step back, but she continues to be just, I mean, and like talk about meteoric rise. I remember interviewing her in like 2018 and she's just blasted to the top. She tweeted out, you know, a joke like, it's all downhill from here, right? With the 6 spot. But I don't think so, Jordynne. Like, there's no way. I don't see her dipping anytime soon unless she gets hurt or leaves, you know. That'd be good.
What a more scary couple if you saw walking down the alley than her and Jonathan Gresham, two like 5'2" people that are built like action figures walking towards you. You have no idea what's happening. Like, oh my God, they're
formidable for sure. Yeah,
two physical specimens, if you would.
Right, and very good too. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm a big Jonathan Gresham fan. And
yes.
I have a buddy who's really He was big into wrestling. He used to wrestle. I actually met him through when we wrestled in Minnesota here. And when he stopped wrestling, he stopped watching it. He just didn't like it as much anymore. And I'm like, whatever, I get it. Like, there's a guy you should watch, Jonathan Gresham. He comes out in a Bryan Danielson robe, like Bryan Danielson. You love Bryan Danielson. He's like him. You'd love him. And he's like, nope, not going to watch it. I'm like, oh, my God, you're missing out. If you watch this guy. He's so good.
Right. He's so good.
I'm slowly trying to turn him. I got him over for the last AEW pay-per-view. And I was like, Swerve Strickland, you're going to love this guy. Keith Lee, you're going to love this guy. And he watched their tag match, and he's like, okay, this was actually really good. I was like, I told you, there's good wrestling. Just trust me.
Yesterday, when he was asking,
oh, when's your next radio? And I told him, oh, we're doing now. And I sent him that Siori Utami match from June 12th of last year. And I was like, this is going to be the greatest women's match you may have ever seen in your life. So he's got it sitting there ready to go this weekend to watch it. He's going to watch it. I know he's going to be like, oh, my God, I need to see this Stardom company. And I'm excited for him to dig in. But the last one in the top 10 that I'm a big fan of this person. I see a lot of yay and nay, but I'm on the 100% yay. And I think everything she does is great. I think when she was in NXT, she gave Raquel Gonzalez the greatest match she's ever had or is ever going to have. And people may not have agreed. People didn't watch whatever. But Taya Valkyrie, La Güera Loca, she is so – I think she's so talented. And she's stiff and takes it, you know, and this is your fifth company. You could put in the top 10 talking about diversity, you know, Reina de Reyes champion. Five companies in your top 10. Taya Valkyrie did Impact, did NXT. I think she's tremendous, and I don't think she gets enough credit. But kudos getting her in the top 10. What's your thoughts on Taya Valkyrie?
Yeah, well, and, you know, to us it was really a no-brainer to put her up this high because, you know, she gets kind of, shelved on WWE, especially for somebody with such a great career, so like a long career. She gets shelved on NXT.
They give her a dog and all this stuff. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm like, just call her by your name. But, you know, they shelf her. They shelf her, and, you know, then she gets let go. And, like, no matter who you are, that's heartbreaking. And a lot of people can't continue with wrestling after that, and you can completely understand. She comes out and she just breaks the gates down. She comes out blazing. She had like 55 matches during the evaluation period, which is very good for someone who's been shelved, you know. She hit the ground running. She had three titles during the eval period, like you said, the Reina de Reinas. And not only that, similar to Deonna last year, she really spread that love around. You know, it wasn't just in AAA. She fought for it at Impact, at RCW, at Garden State. She used it everywhere. And that's really important, especially for that title with during this whole COVID thing. You know, Mexico was pretty shut down to a lot of us. So it was important to get eyes on that belt elsewhere. So she really did that. You know, she's one of those women who will just not sit down quietly. And I respect that. She fought everywhere, and she's still rocking it at Impact with the tag titles. I mean, she's literally, I think there's like probably two dozen promotions that she fought for. I mean, she wasn't gonna sit down quietly. You have to respect that. She just did an amazing year when she could have just taken a break. Super proud of everything she's done, and glad we could see her, you know, kick ass.
She I just think she's a fantastic worker, and like I can see where people may have, you know, I can see this and I can see that, but the things that I like in my wrestling, she does every flipping thing of those things. And, you know, I'll never forget that last NXT match. She's wrestling Raquel Gonzalez, and people are going, oh, you know, champ hasn't had a good year. She's not going to have a good match with Di Valkyrie. And I'm like, no, she's going to bring the best out of this woman you've ever seen. And she got in that ring, and she hit her as hard as she could in the chest. And Gonzalez kind of gave her that, whoa, kind of look like, what is this? Yeah. And gave her that, you better bring it. And that match was a banger. And then they get rid of her. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. And,
how
you know, she's somebody.
Up?
Right. She's somebody who has, what, 12 years under her belt, and she's literally fought everywhere. I mean, she's fought for MLW, for Impact, for, I mean, Stardom. She fought for the World Stardom title way back when. Rise, and I mean, so many places. And in Mexico, right? She had a very long run in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, how can you? Yeah, NWA, and like pretty much every indie you could think of in the U.S. So it's like, how can you not utilize her? But, of course, NXT has a whole different style and need, and that's unfortunate. But the good thing is then we get to see her now. We have her back. We can see her fight. She's not being shelved, and that's the most important thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where I'm like, you look at the riches of, like, and I don't mean to turn it into a WWE thing by any means, but like you look at the riches that this company has, and what they like I said with Bianca, I was glad she was able to be number two after what happened to her 2 months before the eval period. Like, they have these riches and they don't know. How do you not know what to do with Keith Lee? Like, it blows my mind.
Right.
Vince McMahon was ready to take the title off of Walter and just shelf him. Like, are you crazy?
Right.
I don't get it, but that's a whole other, because I'll lose my mind thinking about that. But
right.
I love this top 10 list. I love how diverse with the companies, the people you had, and you just keep going. You know, you mentioned Impact as a great spot. I'm looking through the top 20. There's like six or seven people from Impact. Deonna Purrazzo, Masha Slamovic, Tasha Steelz, Taya Valkyrie. You know, we mentioned the above. I feel like Impact was a company that people just kind of shoo to the side, don't think about. But if you're a fan of women's wrestling, 2022 was a good year for them.
Yeah, they don't fail us. Impact Wrestling has some of, I mean, they have a really great blend. That's what I say a lot. They have a great blend of people who've been around, like Rosemary, and newer people. Now, Masha's not necessarily new, but she's new to Impact. And so they have a really good mix of, you know, different types of wrestling. They're all incredibly hard workers. They're all, you can tell they want to be there. And the thing about them is recently they've had a lot of drops, right? A lot of people have left that company recently, and I hope they can fill the spots, because that's something that is of concern. But regardless of all of that, they still remain one of the best women's rosters in the entire world. I think we all know that, and yet we don't give them enough credit. And so to see so many here, and part of it is, too, like, they are allowed to go out and work indies. So you see Masha. I swear Masha has wrestled in multiple matches at the same time. Like, there's no physical way that she could have wrestled as many matches as she did. But that's the glory of Impact, is that they're like, yes, go out there, you know, and she gets to make a name for herself, both on this list and the 500. That was one that I argued for Masha, like, put her higher, because she's somebody who just, man, talk about work rate, right?
Yep, 100%.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, so they obviously really treat the women over there with respect. There's a lot of firsts this year for them over there, too. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like Impact has some of the best talent, and I hope more people watch it.
Oh, Mickey
like,
James.
I
didn't even realize Mickey James was sitting there. Number 15.
Yeah.
Forgot about Mickey. See,
yeah.
It's exactly what you just said. It's just, it's, you don't think it, but then you look at it and go, oh, my God, they're everywhere.
Right. Yeah, and Mickey James, I mean, she's one of those that floats, right? She floats all around the place. But, you know, she took that knockout title, and she went on the Royal Rumble with it. Like, I mean, these women, they're everywhere, and they make their presence known. Yeah.
One question from a listener was curious about, because of the longevity of the title reign, was it more because of the competition that Mandy Rose didn't make top 20 and went to 21?
Yeah, we get that a lot. And that, look, I'll say, too, I'll admit this, it is vote by committee. I had her higher. I did not have her in the top 10, but I did have her higher. So with Mandy Rose, she had the title, but she didn't defend it a lot, not for the NXT women's title, like for the history of it, didn't defend it a lot. When she did defend it, and this is not her fault, due to the nature of NXT and the developmental state of it, she fought it against newer people, right? Like, they weren't all, you know, your Io Shirai's, and she fought it against newer people. Mandy Rose is a veteran in that roster, and the problem with being a veteran in any roster is that almost every single person you fight is going to be lower on the scale than you, right? So she comes in, she's got whatever, a lot of years, quite a few now, goes in there and rules the roster, but the people below her are below her, right? So that's the problem with being a title holder, frankly, that unless you're fighting people at the top of the card, it does hurt you a little bit. And two, with Mandy, she comes out with Toxic Attraction, and it's awesome, and we love Mandy and Toxic Attraction, but she did also focus some attention on tag and trio work. Right. It doesn't not count in the future. It will not count. We're going to make a better line between the lists, but it does count less since this is a singles list. So we are not, I know Mandy went out and tweeted, you know, oh, I got robbed. I'm sure it's KK.
Which is cool that she saw it, though. It's so cool, you know.
Yeah, I know. But I will say, and she got a lot of shit. Like, I don't know if I can swear. I went to see, because I feel bad about it, and a lot of people are giving her grief, and I think Mandy brings something really unique to NXT that a lot of those women don't have. She's the heel, right? She's like our Jade, but for NXT, and Mandy Rose brings so much to the table. I think she's a great wrestler. I think she's great. We do not think she's a bad wrestler. This is a kayfabe list based on push, and it's just the fact that she is in, you know, we call it a third brand, but it is a developmental state that it's a little bit less for her. She had a really rough year, and we recognize that, and we love Mandy, and we hope that everything is okay, you know, but, you know, personally wise, right? But she's incredible, and this is not a knock on her. And I would, if I had to place bets, she's going to be higher up next year, if I had to place a bet.
And I'll say this too, you know, thanks for the question. I don't think it's a bad thing of where she placed either. I thought it was a good idea taking somebody that you've established on your television, putting them in your third brand developmental, as it's called, and, you know, give them the rub. But I thought over the course of the time, you know, the year plus she's had the title now, I thought she's gotten better. And
oh yeah.
To say you've gotten better against some good, like, why can't I think? They come up with the worst names. Kaylee Ray, who she just worked. Alba Fire was the name I couldn't think
of. Alba Fire.
God. When they made Desmond Xavier, Wes Lee, I think it was, I went, oh, my Lord, that is such an atrocious name. But, you know, she's wrestled some of these NXT talents have had like four matches there on TV, and they've been not very good. And she's done her part to elevate herself, to elevate that. And look, I'd be crazy if I said she's better than Tommy Hayashi Shida, who's at 20. That's like night and day, but.
Right.
Going back to what I said before, I appreciate the effort and the work rate, what you're trying to do. And I do think she had a sneaky good year for the simple fact that she brings that presence. It's kind of like you said with Jade. She has that, you know, eye-catching, you know, we're like, oh, got to watch her. She's got the ability with it. But she really improved. And
I do
like that she got up there. I think that's a good ranking.
Yeah, I mean, first off, like, the top, like, half of the list, I mean, a lot of this list was super hard. Like, it's like one thing, you know, one little thing, one little stat separates the person above you from you. So it's not to say that she didn't have a good year. It's that the top 20 was super, super competitive. Mandy has definitely improved. And I'm glad she went to NXT because she kind of got lost on main roster, like a lot of women do. You know, she got lost. And rather than have her up there getting lost among women who are in the title picture, have her go to NXT where she can not only get better, but also be a pillar for that. She is there to then help other women. You know, you have like people like Roxy come in who are like, incredible at wrestling, but maybe they need a little work on their personality at NXT or something.
Yeah.
And she's there to help people. She has the experience. She's been around. I think it's a good spot for her. But, you know, like we said, it's just the nature of that over there. And not just that, but toxic attraction in general. JC Jane made her debut on this. Gigi Dolan or Priscilla, she has
mm-hmm.
a lot of time on the indies to give to people, too.
Priscilla Kelly's great.
Yeah, I think as a group, they're incredible, and I think as a group, they're also really good leaders for that roster. So no shade to Mandy Rose. Please don't think that we're doing that. We love every single woman on this list. We would never do that. This is not personal, or it was a hard top 20.
Well, she can say, well, you know, you may have put me 21, but I'm ahead of Miko Satomura, so suck it. That's Miko Satomura,
exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen. So, no, I,
exactly.
I think it was, you know, good question. I appreciate it. I think it's a good fit for her. You know, there's one person I look on this list, and they're sitting there at 26, and I'm going to mm-hmm. say something that people might not want to hear because they want to see her on TV.
Okay.
But I really wish Sasha doesn't come back. And I wish she went to a different company.
Oh, I'm like, what?
No, not quit. No, I apparently, from what I've heard, she's never not been under contract. So she's still an employee there. But selfishly, could you imagine her against, you know, let's look at the top 20 with a couple people with Utami, Azumi,
yeah.
Starlight, Saya Kamatani. You see where I'm going there? You know, just on a personal thought, this wasn't even anything that I had in mind to ask you, but I'm a big uh-huh. Sasha Banks head. I think she was the best woman's wrestler this company had, and I think they took her for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Don't selfishly, wouldn't it be kind of nice if she went over to Stardom?
Yeah, I mean...
Or am I just crazy? She needs to be back in the E.
Well, I don't necessarily think she has to be back at the E. I mean, I am a member of the Sasha Stan Army. That's why I reacted so violently.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. I apologize.
I will. So, you know, I'm not. I just did not affect the ranking. There are plenty of us who are Sasha fans that we thought she really very much deserved the spot. I know she wants to go to Japan. So I'm whatever she wants to do. Wherever she thrives and she is used and you see her and is not shelved, that's where I think she should be. Because she's one of those one-in-a-generation talents that has everything, that is that star power outside of wrestling, that is just making a name for herself and using her own name. And, I mean, she's incredible. And I think whatever she wants to do is what I want her to do. Whatever she's going to be happy doing, if she's going to come to WWE and be shelved, then I don't want her to come here. Or if she's going to go anywhere and be shelved, then no. Then I don't want her to go. You know, I want her
mm-hmm.
to do what she wants to do, even if that means not going back to wrestling, which would be super sad for a lot of us.
Yep.
But
100%.
Whatever makes her happy, yeah. Yeah.
I remember when she took one of her sabbaticals. Because, you know, I always respected the fact that she'd kind of go, I need to leave for a little bit and just have me time. And I think so many more
yeah.
wrestlers need that, and they're too afraid to do that. And I love that she's like, no, I'm not afraid. I'm going to do what I need to do. I need to take care of me. Kudos. You deserve that. You rule. You're the
mm-hmm.
best wrestler this company has.
Right.
But then I see a picture
right.
of her training with Miko Satomura, and she's doing stuff over there. And, oh, so she's at, like, I think it was the Pro Wrestling Wave she was training with or one of those
mm-hmm.
companies.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
oh, my God. Are we going to get to see her against, like, Tsukasa Fujimoto, who's at 44? Like, what
right.
is coming from this? And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. So just,
I mean, yeah, obviously,
selfishly.
Yeah. Yeah, from, like, a, you know, a fantasy booking point of view, totally. I mean, to see Sasha go over into Japan and have a good run everywhere would be ideal. Totally.
You know, we're going to get a little Risa Nakajima action.
Yeah, something.
I would... I was glad that with the whole controversy, and that company was in a weird spot at the time too, that she did make a list and get a high spot. So I thought that was really awesome getting Sasha on there because they had such a good tag run, and they wanted, you could tell they wanted to be a tag team. It wasn't, hey, you guys are partners tonight. It was,
right,
we're going to make this work. We're going to come up with tag chemistry, tag moves.
Right.
And we're going to leave on our own accord because you're not using us as a tag team. And so
right.
I think
and
she took a stand that most people wish they would do, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Naomi's a little bit lower, but they both, you know, they both also fought for titles. Sasha, I think, fought more for a title, so she was longer in the title picture, which is why she's higher. But she also has a lot of star power outside of wrestling, which does count. I mean, the influence, like, outside of wrestling fans does totally count. So I think some people were pretty shocked she was that high. But if that was my list, right? But I think she deserves that spot. I mean, she's just one of those star powers, you know.
Everyone talks about, or, you know, you look at the ratings mover shirt that Roman Reigns wears. The real ratings mover on SmackDown was Sasha. It's a fact. You can Google quarter hour ratings and you can see who was the draw. And I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I'm Team Sasha 24/7.
Yes.
Oh, I just would have loved to see Sasha versus Julia or something. Oh, it would have been so good.
Yes, totally.
One company you briefly mentioned, we didn't really talk about it. I just wanted to get your opinion. I don't know if you're a watcher or not a watcher, but number 12, Miyu Yamashita. We had 29, Prince of Princess Champion, Shoko Nakajima, and her former Miraculians tag partner, Yuka Sakazaki, at 43. Do you dabble in the Tokyo Joshi Pro? What's your thoughts on them, the kind of the number two there in Japan?
Oh, totally. I am a TJPW stan.
Yeah,
I love Mayu.
Let's go.
I love them all. We've interviewed quite a bit of them too. For when Belt to Balls was going on.
Was it Yuki Kamifuku when she talked about being from Ohio?
No. So we interviewed Maki.
Makito.
Oh my god. Yeah, and we also, Yuka, Sakazaki, Kamiyu. We interviewed quite a few people from over there because we were pretty close with somebody who did translation for them. So
Okay.
Yeah, we were very lucky to have them. Yeah, I mean, so they were always sort of known as being like the fun promotion, and I think a lot of people thought maybe that was like, oh, they're the jokesters. But they have so many fun matches, but they're also incredibly athletic. And, you know, the Pink Striker, I got to interview her, which I thought for PWI, and I thought that was so cool. And she mentioned, like, one of her dreams because, right, she came over, right, and had a little run in the U.S., which is a big reason why she got up there besides just being a champ. she had said one of her dreams was to push somebody off the Ruby Red steps in Times Square. And I thought, that's your dream? That's your dream? Like, that's, because it was just a question, like, what do you want to do when you're in the U.S.? Thinking she's going to say, like, oh, I want to try some Dunkin' Donuts. No, she wants to push somebody off the Ruby Red steps. And I thought, that's so awesome. Like, she's so cool. She's also one of those people that, you know, she comes in and she fights, like, Masha and stuff. And maybe the whole crowd doesn't know who she is, but by the time that she's done with that match, they're like, where can I find more matches from her? Because she's somebody who demands attention, who is not afraid to do the big stuff. And that's with a lot of TJPW women. They're not afraid to make the big move. They're not afraid of it. And they can come out and have huge personalities, which is something great about TJPW. They all have their own huge personalities. And like amazing entrances, by the way. And some of the best, just on a company level, some of the best production value I've ever seen. And they have it at pretty decent times. It's not like 3 a.m. You know, they have them at like maybe 11 midnight, which I can do at my age. and they made it so, like in the past year or so, they made it so readily available with Wrestle Universe. So they're just doing amazing things. And the women are coming over here in AEW and the indies, and they're, you know, they're being known. Miyu obviously came over and fought Thunder Rosa for the title. I mean, just their star power is growing, Joshi in general in the U.S., but especially TJPW, because they are so ready to work with other people, no matter if you're a television promotion or not. So there's a lot of people on TJPW on this list. There's one fifth of the list is Joshi in general, but a lot TJPW, and it's really no wonder why, honestly.
Yeah, they do a tremendous. When we went to Tokyo 2019, we managed to get second row at Korakuen, and yeah, it was Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao, and I think it was Beta Scott was the third. It was a three way, and it was whoever could put on a USA hat and sing the Star Spangled Banner before getting the hat knocked off got to win the match.
Yeah.
And my buddy who was with me is like, what is going on here? He had no idea we were watching. I'm like, no, it's cool, man. It'll be fun. And then I think it was Miyu and Maki Ito was the main, and Reika Saiki was working the company at the time, and she worked Miyu or Miko Satomura. And then we got a Magical Sugar Rabbits tag match. Like, it was so cool watching Tokyo Joshi Pro, because they all were, you go from Yamashita to all the way down to like Palm Harajuku. Like, everybody worked so hard in that company, but you could tell everybody's enjoying themselves and having fun. And I am so with you. And that company is a diamond in the rough that people just haven't discovered yet.
Yeah. And, you know, like their tag competition is some of the best in the world, even comparable to Stardom. They have amazing tag teams. You know, when you think of Miyu especially, like, she's not afraid to fight anyone. She's over in Spain,
so
I think, fighting Millie just the other week. Like,
took a picture with Sasha.
Yeah, so.
But I'm like,
know,
oh, please, God, give me Miyu and Sasha. Like, let's go.
Oh, God. And, you know, she's at 150, but that's a good example of somebody with a true awesome personality. And they even did so we were kind of already talking about maybe doing an alternative cover. We've done that before on PWI. And some guy had just said to PWI on Twitter, like, alternative cover with Hyper. And we did it. He made a digital version with an alternative cover. Yeah. So that's on, you probably get that on PWI online, I think. They just make themselves known. And sometimes you'll see, like on their Cyber Fight Festival, when they have all companies there, that the women's matches are some of the most, like, impressive and the most watched and the most, you know, cheered for, whatever they do over there, clap. And, you know, they're really not afraid. They're really not afraid to get dirty and really fight in the ring. And, I mean, we would be dumb not to put a bunch of them on this list. Frankly,
I had a buddy who had never really seen it too, and he was kind of, you know, dabbling into Joshi and trying to expand himself, because he only watched American stuff. And he goes on and he's watching this Tokyo Joshi Pro show on my Wrestle Universe account, and he sees you know what, which would be Maki Ito. He sees this woman come out, and he's like, "What is this woman doing?" And She's kind of wandering around, and she walks to the camera. It's just one of those, like, one camera still cam shows. And, you know, to answer your question about swearing, you know, she takes a chair and she puts it under the camera, and she stands up and she, like, wipes the lens off. And my buddy goes, "What is she doing?" I said, "Just wait." And all of a sudden she just screams, "Hello, motherfuckers. I am Maki Ito."
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Hello," and gives him the bird, the double bird, and walks away. And he goes, "What was that?" I said, "That's Maki Ito. It's the cutest in the world." And he's just dumbfounded. Like, he's never seen it like this. I was like, these are the personalities this company gives you, and it's just tremendous.
It's so good. Yeah.
One person I wanna take a victory lap on that I think would have been higher on the list had there not been injuries/visa issues, and this kind of leads into what I wanted to ask you next. Number 69, Thekla, which I told everyone, There's a girl coming that's going to join Donna Del Mundo from over in the Aussie region. Just wait until she shows up. I promise you. She did. She was incredible. Becla, that's my victory lap. I just want to say, based off of our last conversation.
Yeah.
Her and Mariah. I'll take Mariah, too. Who was the other one I said? Came at 78. Who are a couple people that you really thought should have been higher than where they got?
Yeah. Well, I mean, mostly, like, there's people that I wish could add. Like, I thought everybody was pretty where it's where I wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Willow would have been cooler higher, but Willow obviously, you know, she just got signed by AEW, but she was somebody who was all over the place. You know, like Billie Starks, I'm a huge fan of. I think she's super young, but 52 is not bad, you know, but she's super young and she's got just the world ahead of her, you know. Trish Adora, I always think, should be, like, on the top of every single list because I'm just in love with Trish Adora and her presence and, like, the way she wrestles. There are some people from NXT UK that I wish we could have made the list, but just
activity-wise,
they didn't really make it. But we had 32 debuts on any PWI list this year, so Tekla was one of them, right? There was quite a few from Stardom, actually. Hazuki. There was quite a few of them.
Good to see
her
come back to wrestling,
too,
by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, we had a lot of debuts, a lot of returning, right? Like, Jetta came back for the first time in 13 years to the list. It was an incredible year for wrestling, and, I mean, I wish I could make them all number one. Obviously, I can't. There's a lot of people from WWE and AEW, I think, that I wish I could have ranked higher. Like, you think of Shayna Baszler. But they weren't really used properly. Or Anna Jay made her debut, but I thought she could have ranked higher had they used her more. She came back from her injury run-in. But, yeah, I mean, there are so many people on here that we got to add this year that I was really excited about, like Riley Shepard. We've been a very big fan of Riley Shepard, me and my fiance Warren, for quite a while, and we got to add her on this year. So, I mean, there's so many people on here. Shotzi, like, why is Shotzi so low? You know, but
yeah,
it's
that's
because they're not
crazy that she hadn't been on, you know, if you hadn't on too like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of AEW and WWE women were just not used. Like, you think of Nyla Rose is not even on this list. Rio is not even on this list. Nyla Rose fought exclusively, I think, on Dark, and wasn't being used. Was just in a lot of tag team matches. So, like, we couldn't fit her on here. Same thing with Rio. And I think if those divisions sort of step it up with women, they could be higher because they are on TV, and that is such a big part of influence. You know,
I didn't even think about the Nyla Rose thing. Looking at this, that. You know, she was such a main proprietor early years that, you know, she was the epitome of the cool off period of what your eval was. And, you know, now you look and she's in a feud with Jade Cargill. But I didn't think about that. Such an interesting time. I don't get that. How do you not, it goes back to what I said earlier, how do you not know how to use Shayna Baszler?
I know.
I just don't get that. She's so talented. I remember the first time I saw her was in Stardom, and they did Stardom USA like 2013, 2014, and she was in a six-man with Hana Kimura's mom, Kyoko Kimura. And I remember they were working. Those two kept pairing off, and I don't know if she was just giving Baszler a lot of offense or what was going on. I was like, man, this, you know, I got to remember this girl. Then I saw her in UFC, and, oh shit, she works Stardom. That's really cool. Wrestler,
she's incredible.
She's someone that I just don't understand how they keep using or can't use.
Talk. Yeah, I think the problem. Well, I would guess like 90% of the problem is that there was one match per woman's show, or not enough. There might be two on WWE. They usually have a few more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting, like, pretty solidly 25% of everything, right?
Yeah.
So there's just, like their rosters, their women's rosters are not bloated by any means, but there's not enough time to use all of them. They're not getting feuds, and the feuds that are happening are typically around titles. WWE's a little bit better about that, but not much. And so, yeah, so then you've got these people who are not involved in title feuds or not involved in, you know, mid-card feuds that are now off the list because they just weren't involved. And so give women more time and more women will appear on these lists.
I look at some of these numbers, and by no means am I going to throw any shade at anybody, but I'm like, man, there's a couple people that are in this company that are in the top 25 or 20 that I'm like, she's way better than these people. Why is she not get used? Like, it just drives me nuts. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Is there anybody that you thought on this list maybe got ranked too high with their output from last year?
You're not gonna get me to say any of that.
That's totally fair. I don't want any bad. I didn't get my way on this one.
No, I will say there are some people out there who are not happy with their rankings, but that's neither here nor there. I think, you know, like this is a committee, right? I might not have put somebody at this spot, but it probably would have been around that spot if I'm doing things objectively, like we try to do with the criteria. Some of it is subjective, like influence and all that stuff, but a lot of it is really stats-based. Yeah, so we try to make it objective before anything else. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that I disagree with anyone on this list because I don't think we've just put somebody in here to put someone in here. You know, they typically have the stats to support. Would I have put every single person in every spot that they're in? Probably not. I mean, I didn't for the top 20. But you know, I stand by the list as a whole. I think we've got a lot of great women, a lot of women that debuted, a lot of women who have been around for a long time who have not been on this list before. And, you know, you think of those people and you're like, how have these people not been on the list? They've been around forever.
Yep.
So, you know, that's great. And you know, I'm a fan of women's wrestling. I can separate the character from the person. And I have mad respect for everyone on this list. Absolutely.
And I think that's a good take, too. Like, when me and Alex do our yearly awards and we're going through and are doing our, like, top 10 list of, you know, blank category, and something I might have at, like, number 2, he's like, number 9, I got this. And I'm like, oh, you got to be... But you know what? It's the beautiful thing about wrestling is everybody can have their own opinion and be objective, and that's why it's great.
And that's when people get mad on Twitter. That's what I try to tell myself is that we all have our favorites, and if we didn't have those people yelling for their favorite, we wouldn't have wrestling because we wouldn't have fandom. Of course, there's a level of respect that you would like to have, but, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody that their favorite shouldn't be number one because that's who they like. But we are, this year by year, it is the stats just for a year, a calendar year. If we did a list based on who we thought was the best wrestler, it would look the same every year, and it's subjective. So I'm glad that people are fans. So it's totally okay that you and him sit there and go, that's what we should do.
Exactly. No, and that's what makes the sport so great. Look, I've talked to people about this list, numerous people, and I said, look, I think you could take anybody and put them wherever you feel like as long as it's not number one. You could take 2 through 150 and put them wherever you want, but I will objectively tell you that if you didn't put Fiori number one, you're crazy. But
I knew there was going to be so many people happy. I knew there'd be people who weren't because that's how it goes. But also seeing Shuri and, you know, she stayed up really late that day to wait for the release and
that's so awesome.
To see her response. Yeah. I mean, that was worth it. And that's what I try to remember when I make these lists is that this is to celebrate the women who really, really busted their ass and put their bodies and lives online for us. Not the fans. I mean, we want to keep readers, but we would never make every single fan happy. That's not possible. So, but this is for the women. They did the work and they deserve the shine.
And I know for a fact everybody that makes these lists appreciate it. I've had a couple buddies who have been like 468 or something, and they're like, oh my God, I'm in the magazine. And they're just out of their mind.
Yeah.
You know, they can't. Yes. I was talking to a guy I wrestled with back in the day, which you might have heard of being Midwest, Darren Corbin. And he was like 380. He's like, dude, look at this shit. You know, I was like, oh my God, you're 500. You know, it's such a cool thing.
It's especially cool for, because, you know, you think of like the people who are signed, like Suri, Bianca, Zero, Thunder Rosa, their paychecks don't depend on where they're ranked on this list. It doesn't matter. They like the shine. I'm sure they like the appreciation, but it doesn't change their paycheck. Whereas the indies, especially with a 500 being such a prestigious list for this, you being on that list, now, I don't think it's like a John Groshen thing where people go and go, oh, I've been this number, so you should pay me more. But it's the fact that they're getting more visibility. People are learning about them for the first time, maybe, and they can go see their matches. They go to shows to see them. So it's the type of visibility that you can't just get for free. You know, it's something that's really cool. And they also deserve to be on the list. They all deserve to be on the spot that they're supposed to be. But, you know, it means a lot more to indies in that way. Like, okay, now I've got this visibility factor that maybe I didn't have before. And even with the women's list being 150, I'm like, I know all these women. These are nobody new to me. But I've had people say, well, I don't follow Stardom very well, and now I'm going to. And that means a lot. That means a lot that we can bring different types of wrestling to people because we believe highly in Stardom. We want other people to believe in them too.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I truly think if people watch Stardom, they would go, okay, this is because and I don't want to say this in a bad way, and I don't mean this by any means, but like people will say, oh, it's women's wrestling, and you know, maybe it's not as flashy at all the times, like, you know, when I've had a couple people go, oh, I don't watch it, just like, you know, I watch the NBA. I don't always watch the WNBA. They're amazing shooters, but there's no dunks and things like that.
Whatever your take is.
But when you watch Stardom, you can't tell me there's any gender that does half of the shit that they do. When I'm watching Siri run off the ring apron and do a diving John Woo missile drop kick to somebody on the floor and they move, and the Natsupoi Tam Nakano feud this year that happened, Natsupoi to join Cosmic Angels. That match they had at Gorkin Hall, those two body slams that Tam gave her on the floor were the hardest body slams I have those saved on my Snapchat. So when somebody tells me wrestling isn't real, I scroll back to their match and I show them the video of me watching Stardom World where Natsupoi is literally getting body slammed to hell. And she sounds like she's been stabbed. She's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell me. Like,
the
fact that people are going to see this cover and go, I may not know that. Let me check it out. I love it. I just love it. Because they worked so damn hard in that company. And, you know, bringing it back full circle, I'm so jacked that Stardom, 7 in the top 30, 3 in the top 9, and Siori reigns supreme. Just a tremendous, tremendous issue. I went and checked Barnes & Noble again today, and they haven't got it yet. And I'm like, damn it, where's the magazine?
I'm waiting to buy mine. It comes out on the 15th. Your stands on the 15th. So you got it.
Okay, I can stop bothering them every day. They're probably going to see me going, hey, you got this from the back yet? Hey, where is that?
Right.
So one last question I got for you. As I said, I know most of these people, but I've never heard of this person, and I've researched them on Twitter, and they seem very charismatic, and it's, in a weird way, has intrigued me to see where I can watch or what they are. Who is number 16, Taryn from accounting?
Number 16?
116, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Taryn from accounting is a Canadian wrestler. So Canada, I know, it's an amazing name. She's She's very good, Taryn. She does a lot of stuff.
Oh, I scrolled one. Who the hell is this? I'm intrigued. I have to know.
She's only been around for about 3 years, she does a lot of stuff in Canada. The Canada presence has been a lot more impressive this year on the list because they finally opened up, and they opened up borders and all that stuff for COVID. So, yes, I love her name. I think she's incredible. I'll shout out my friend Spencer Love, who has his own promotion, Love Wrestling. He just started not too long ago. And she, I don't know if she has the title, but she's doing a lot. Oh, she did have a title. She has been doing a lot for them, and she just does a lot of Canada stuff. So if you just search for her and YouTube, I'm sure you'll find a lot of her matches. Or if you go watch Love Wrestling, there's a lot of stuff there. And she's incredible. I mean, I knew of her. I hadn't seen a lot before this year of her, but she's one of those people that you're like, this is the best name. Like, it's so unique. Yes. And it's like, you know, I don't know the backstory behind it, I'll be honest, but I'm like, was she an accountant? Like, I would love to hear about it. Like, were you an accountant? And then was like, I'm going to start wrestling, because that's incredible, you know?
I got a buddy who's an accountant here in Minnesota for a couple big firms. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I found this wrestler on this list. Her name's Taryn from accounting. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, you need to start wrestling. You'd be Isaiah from accounting. And he's like, I can do that.
She's
tremendous. It's so random. I was like, this is what I've missed in wrestling, is just that randomness that is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that'll be my next deep dive.
Yes, deep dive into Canadian wrestling. I know there's a lot of missed opportunities with Canada. A lot of them either don't come down here, or they can't come down here, or whatever their visa stuff and all that's a lot more complicated. But they have, I mean, Lufisto is up there, right? They have incredible wrestling. A lot of them on this list are either pretty new and incredible, or have been around and incredible. So Canada doesn't get looked at a lot, frankly, enough anyway. So, yeah, deep dive into Canadian wrestling. They're really great up there.
Jump into that. I got a guy I used to wrestle with, Danny Duggan, who runs the Canadian Wrestling Federation, CWF. And I should reach out to him and be like, hey, have you ever booked Taryn from accounting? He's like, what?
Yeah. me and my fiance's favorite up there is B4. They run a lot of great shows, like, especially, I mean, honestly, in the men's division too, like Violence is Forever is always appearing for them.
Nice.
Or
nice.
Yeah. Or like Evil Uno, you know, like mm-hmm. the guys that came up from up there. Right. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they booked her. So looking at them too, you know, Alexia Nicole and all of them, like they're pretty great up there. So definitely, definitely take a look at Canadian wrestling. Absolutely.
I'm excited when I saw it. I was like, okay, I have to check that out.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up here, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to give you a time frame because I knew the banter would be strong and it would happen. And
Right. Yeah,
it's
okay.
I love breaking into the discussion and especially the stardom and the women's talk. What do you want to play? Plug everything you got for all of our listeners, like we had you last time, you know, everything you want, blood type doesn't matter. I want to make sure people are able to read and hear and see the great contributions you have with it.
Oh, thanks. Well, you can order this issue either digital right away, or you can order pre-order copies. They're coming out very soon. I already have mine in the mail, so that tells you it's coming out very soon. You can do that at pwi-online.com. You can order back copies. The 500 is still up, I believe. There's older ones you can get for digital. All my stuff right now is there. I've got a column called the W column that was on pause for a while to make room for the list stuff, but that's coming back on the tag team issue. The tag team issue is coming pretty soon here. There's some really great surprises for that one. It's a really fun issue. I just interviewed Anna Jay for the Women's 150. I'm doing a little series on women who debuted for any PWI list. So I got to interview her, which is super cool. It's a short 8-minute chat about her year. So that's on PWI's YouTube. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm a lot on PWI. You can follow me on Twitter too, at Kristen Ashley. K-E-N, no E in Ashley, just L-Y. So that's where all my stuff will be.
And I do have to say, in the next couple of weeks, I'm probably going to shoot you and your wonderful fiance who gives great content on YouTube. I'm glad you put me on. I've had him subscribe since last time we talked, and I always like jumping in and watching when I see him on. I have an idea for a fun concept that I have to run by my co-host, but we need two people for it, and I think you two would be fantastic for it. So, I'm leaving this as like the cliffhanger for the listeners. Okay. Hopefully they go, what does this mean? So, but I'll be in touch about that and see what you guys think about it. But thank you so much for coming on, talking about this. I knew when I saw the cover and the list, immediately I had to reach out to talk because I wanted to. It's always a pleasure talking to you and breaking down the great sport that we love.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I love being on. And anytime I get to talk about women's wrestling, I'm totally game. Thank you.
That's what we like to hear. We'll talk soon, and I'll reach out. And thanks, everyone, listening. And we are signing off for the evening. Have a good one.
Thank you.